You're listening to a CNBC TV 18 podcast, and this is Smooth Ride. Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of the Smooth Ride podcast on CNBC TV 18. I am Alisha Sachdev, and today's episode is all about design. We're mostly about business in this podcast, but a huge element of a successful lineup of vehicles is design. And not just the products, but a brand philosophy and essence is all dictated by design, which in turn, as we know, is informed by a company's larger vision and its goals. My guest on the podcast today is Pratap Bose, newly appointed Chief Design Officer at Mahindra & Mahindra, an Indian automotive giant known for its SUVs on the cusp of big changes. Case in point, the new brand logo that we've seen by now on the hugely impressive XUV700. Without further ado, listen in to Pratap Bose draw on his experiences designing some vastly successful automotive products, M&M's vision to become more SUV than ever, and the buzz about the born electric EVs. So Pratap, thank you so much for joining me today for the Smooth Ride podcast on CNBC TV 18. You know, I've been wanting to speak to you for this podcast for a very long time, and you know, we managed to speak also earlier, but that of course, you know, turned out to be a shorter conversation. So now that I do have your time today, I would really like you to indulge us first with the details. You know, it's been a couple of months that you've joined, you know, Mahindra & Mahindra as the Chief Design Officer. You're of course going to be operating out of the UK. Tell me what the initial few weeks have been like. And are you in the thick of things already? We know you've made an India trip, and more on that later. But just a broad sense of how you're feeling right now.
Hi, Alisha. Thank you. Thank you again for having me on this podcast. It's always a pleasure to speak to you. Like you said, you know, we got a very short chance to speak earlier when we spoke just about the logo. You're right. I've been here now, you know, 6 to 8 weeks. I think it's been just about 8 weeks. And, you know, it's been absolutely action-packed. I can't tell you, you know, Alisha, like you said, new logo, new car launch for which I visited India. You know, and of course, got to meet a lot of my colleagues, you know, both in the management and in the India Design Studio, because it was all done, you know, remotely, the entire process. So, you know, it was great to meet everyone face to face. And funnily enough, you know, Alisha, it seemed like I knew everyone already. You know, it was strange. Yeah, when I met, you know, the senior management team, for example, it just felt like we knew each other for a long time. So that was, you know, in a nice way, that was a good thing. Right. I felt very comfortable. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, but it's been busy. It's been exciting. There's lots going on, as you know, across auto and farm. Many products to come, and you know, and at the same time we are building a competence and capability in the UK. So you know, these 6 to 8 weeks have been absolutely action packed.
absolutely, and it shows really. And you know, when you say that, you know, it felt like you already knew the management. That also figures, you know, because again, it goes back to your stints. You know, that you've been in this industry for so long, so naturally. You know this space very, very well. And then, you know, just segueing into this logo now, you know, that you created for M&M. We know that M&M is now, you know, transitioning into, you know, appealing to a younger audience, you know, bringing more SUV customers into the brand. The company has stated this intention very clearly, you know, that we want to be a core SUV player. And we know that M&M does have some very iconic products, right, which, you know, people associate with the brand.
Yes.
Not necessarily very feature rich. That's where it had been losing to the competition. You know, that's how people had started to see the brand a certain way. You know, of course, the memo that you're handed out would possibly involve changing that too. So how about you take it from there and explain, you know, to me how you're trying to achieve that now, you know, with the logo and with all the new products that, you know, will be seen. Come in from the brand from this point
Yeah, absolutely. I think, Alisha, you're right. You know, without losing authenticity, without losing this really, you know, go anywhere feel that the products have, one of the big, let's say, parts of the brief, you know, when I was speaking to especially Rajesh when I came on board, was to, you know, bring in sophistication, bring in a certain level of aspiration to the brand. Like you said, many, many iconic brands within the SUV portfolio, you know, Thar, Bolero, Scorpio, XUV. I mean, you name them, they're all actually iconic in their own right. But I think to take them to the next level, you know, needs this sort of design, brand, you know, communication, all sort of a 360 approach. Our dealership experience, our end-to-end customer journey, you know, so I think it's not enough just to have a portfolio of iconic brands. The times are changing. As you said, we want to appeal to a whole new set of customers without losing our core, but bring more people into the brand. And for that, you know, a sharper, a more exciting, a more sophisticated image, starting with the logo, was thought of. And then, you know, as you can see, or as you know, the 700 is one of the most feature-rich products there is in the segment. I mean, many first-in segment, but first-in category as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you know, the product has been very well received. So, you know, that goes on to say that the brand might be onto something here. And, you know, you also said that you've come in at a time when there are, you know, all these big changes going on at the company, you know, not just product-wise, but, you know, there is a memo to change, you know, how the business also operates. And of course, you will, you know, operate while, you know, more on the product side of things. You know, the sense that we also get is that, you know, there is an attempt to, while, you know, they want to appeal to a younger audience, but also keep the, you know, Mahindra DNA alive, just be a stronger, tighter business as well. And that, of course, will all be hinged on, you know, the success of the products that come out. And this is where I also want to, you know, talk about, you know, what you've been able to achieve for other manufacturers that you worked for, you know, just that sort of customer connect, a portfolio of, you know, products which have really ended up working well. You know, this could be, you know, in the ICE segment, in the electric vehicle also now. That sort of, you know, complete turnaround in perception also that you've managed to achieve. Is that also the sense, you know, that you have, you know, when you work on your design philosophy, or you create your design philosophy here?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like I said, you know, we've got four or five really strong brands in the portfolio. So each of them will stand or do stand for something, Alisha. They stand for, you know, a Thar is very different to a XUV700, which is very different to a Bolero. So it is just to actually sharpen that message. You know, as you take each of these brands into the future, what could they stand for? Who should they appeal to? How do we differentiate between these brands? You know, so that's actually a huge exercise, introspective exercise that we've been doing in the company. And, in, you know, this started even before I joined, but I'm just adding to that conversation. You know, what makes each, what's at the core of each product, you know? So there is, of course, outstanding capability, ability, all of that. But what is that emotional connect that will keep people, you know, with these brands and with, you know, Mahindra in general? You know, the car industry today looks very different from what it did even 5-7 years ago, right? And this is going to change. There's going to be new competition. There's going to be new players. Some current players may leave. You know, it's a very dynamic market scenario. And how do you then, you know, find your North Star? You know, what do you stand for? So few of these things, you know, to be able to, you know, the brand essence, which I was very attracted by when we were having the conversations earlier on, was about exploring the impossible. You know, I really like that. It's very simple, the simple thought. And it's almost like if you can think it, then a Mahindra car can get you there, you know, or a Mahindra SUV will get you there. And I really like that. You know, when a central brand thought is a strong one, it's easier for the design team to give vision to that, you know. So, yeah, like I said, core capability will be inherent in all the products. But then there's a layer of emotive design, emotive communication, you know, that we must have, and like that's what is the next
fair enough
new anthem.
Right.
Yeah.
So, Pratap, you know, since you're going to be, you know, you work out of the Mahindra Advanced Design Europe, you know, that's, you know, the newest, you know, design studio that Mahindra has in the UK. Just talk to me a little bit about, you know, the strategic importance also, you know, of this, you know, design studio. And, you know, how will this eventually feed into, you know, the SUVs that the company wants to create, the unmissable presence, you know, like you also mentioned before. How does all of that tie into the work that you will do and the products that will come out of the Mahindra studio?
Yeah, I mean, Alisha, very good question. You know, we've gone public with our plans, you know, 9 SUVs in the next 3 or 4 years, 23 products across auto and farm. You know, so it's a huge portfolio to that's coming our way, you know, right from design to engineering to all of that. So it was felt that we do need a sort of overseas presence. We also have a tech center in the US, in Michigan. You know, a lot of their work is around the born electric vehicle. You know, so the UK was this sort of ideal midpoint between India, the US, tying up. You know, we have been in Farina in Italy. And of course, you know, the Coventry area, Coventry and the larger, let's say, Midlands has a massive network for automotive design specifically. So suppliers, you know, talent, there's Royal College of Art in London, there's Coventry University and other. So the ecosystem is very, very strong here. There's 4 or 5 OEM manufacturers, like from Geely to Jaguar Land Rover, to Shanghai Automotive, you know, so all of that is sort of based in the UK now. And it's really seen a resurgence of automotive design. So we felt that, you know, one of the best locations for us, of course, English speaking helps. So the best location in many ways for us was, you know, to find a base in the UK, develop that. And, you know, when you say advanced design, what does that actually mean? It means that this studio will be, you know, will think of the future products that we are going to introduce as a company. You know, what will those look like? So it goes a long way in defining the design language, the design DNA. And of course, like I said, working with our technical partners in, you know, MNATC, Mahindra North American Technical Center, to really define what born EVs can become. So, you know, this studio or this Mahindra Advanced Design Europe plays a real critical role in, of course, giving input to the company back in India, working with the studio in Bombay, and, you know, tying up with our US engineering partners.
So that sounds very, you know, interesting, the kind of, you know, intersection of, you know, of technologies that you're working with, and of course, you know, with your colleagues in the US as well.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that you steered the conversation towards the born EV. That's one thing, you know, we are definitely watching out for. This is going to be an EV that will be, you know, created from the ground up, an experience customized for electric, and all of this with an SUV body type, right? So how is your understanding, what's your understanding of what these EV SUVs should look like, and what can the customer expect coming out of this new platform?
Well, that's quite a loaded question, but what I can say, you know, EVs, born EVs, because of the battery pack, etc., has a certain architecture which allows you to free up a lot of space in the interior, Alisha. And if you know, in SUV, the U stands for utility. So there's a lot of space you free up, you know, when you go for born electric architecture. And, you know, like I've said before, India's in a phase where we're doing conversions, that means IC engine cars. We replace that with an electric drivetrain, but it's not optimized in my view. But I think the time almost is certainly going to come in the very near future where, you know, we go to this famous tipping point, and I think you know, a born electric architecture will bring products which are not only exciting because, you know, the electric performance is really second to none, but also, you know, lot of space, utility, you know, incredible power that EVs bring, and they can be every bit as exciting. You know, a lot of petrol heads, Alisha, they wonder when you replace the engine, you know, what happens to the excitement of a car, you know, that visceral thrill of driving a car. I can tell you, anyone who's driven an EV, there's actually no loss of excitement at all.
Absolutely.
So it'll of course.
I mean, people driving supercars would of course differ, but that's not the segment you're speaking to.
No, but believe me, Automobili Pininfarina has done the Battista that can probably outperform many of the supercars out there. So, electric does bring what I call electrifying performance.
I'm with you on that.
it's inevitable, and it's an exciting time to be a car designer, actually, where you have the chance to really really set into motion this sort of mobility and electric mobility revolution.
Absolutely.
People are looking for products which are exciting, which are dynamic, which handle well, so there's no compromise that a customer expects. If anything, they expect more from an EV. So being at this at the start of this EV, born EV, is hugely exciting for me.
No wonder. And you're right to point out that the expectations are in fact a lot more, because A, you are paying a premium for these vehicles, and secondly, it's a new product. You want it to not just deliver, but like completely over deliver on all parameters, so that you're justifying the price that you're going to pay. On that note, you are creating SUVs then at the end of the day, and these will have to be vehicles which can also perform as much as any other, Mahindra SUV would. But they also have this print language, like you said, it can't just be, a vehicle where, instead of, an ICE engine, you get an electric, like a motor. So how do you create that differentiation as well? Because the company, of course, has said that, the focus possibly is not so much on these conversion vehicles right now. So you're not talking about converts. You're talking about, vehicles which will be created from the ground up.
Yes.
How does that segmentation also really work?
So there too, I think, there'll be, like today as well, in the ICE world, Isha, there's many types of SUVs, right? So there are... there are boxy SUVs like, let's say, a Thar or a Bolero, but then there are some very dynamic products out there as well. The 300 is one of them, the 700. So I think, there's a range of SUVs that can be created even on a born electric architecture. In fact, some might be more coupe-like, others would be more boxy. Of course, their size within a certain performance parameter for range, you can have
a smaller SUV. All of that is being looked at, right?
Yeah, of course, it'll be a range. Otherwise, see, Alisha, the kind of engineering and investment that goes into an architecture should always lead to a family of products. It's never, it's almost not an architecture if it's one product, right? So,
this is what we've seen in the Indian context, at least so far, right? There's only one or two flagship EVs from every manufacturer, and justifiably so, because the volumes are not that high right now. So it looks like they're just sort of putting these vehicles out to be present in the segment. So, but that's not a strategy that M&M will take. You're saying that there will be a family of products then that will be introduced once, the cars do start getting rolled out.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, we'll design and engineer a range of products on the new battery electric architecture or the born electric architecture. Which one we do first and what the order will be, of course, is something, we'll decide at a later stage. But definitely, I think, this will grow into a nice, exciting range of products, Alisha. I think that for us is what we are in this for. You don't get into battery electric with anything that's involved to come up with one product, right? It's got to be a nice range of products. We are now in the process of defining those, which one will come first, what will be the order. But it's always thought of as a range, no doubt.
Right. So interesting. And I'm not sure you'll comment on any timelines at all. So I would try to not ask you that question. So moving on from there and moving on beyond SUVs now, there is a whole host of other products that M&M is, you know, M&M also manufactures. Farm equipment, of course, you know, M&M is by far the most iconic, you know, farm equipment manufacturer in India as well. How are you bringing your design chops to that segment? You've, of course, done commercial vehicles earlier in your career as well. You've done two-wheelers as well. You've done all of that.
Yes.
But what sort of a design revamp do these vehicles need? They're already doing very well. I mean, tractors, right?
We know the story. You know, you're...
past 1 year.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, you know, the tractor or the farm equipment business is a incredibly successful, strong part of M&M. And you're right. You know, I've done obviously buses, trucks, and cars before, and two wheelers in a previous company, but never farm equipment. You know, so never a tractor or anything like that. So for me, again, you know, part of the excitement for coming on, you know, the comment you made right in your opening. The part of the excitement to come on was actually to be able to do, you know, yet another sector of transportation, you know, in inverted commas.
Interesting. I'm going to really pick up on that though. So are you saying that one of the biggest USPs that M&M had for you was actually that you'll get to design farm equipment?
Yeah, it would, you know, everything, like I said, you know, it's almost everything from two wheels to God knows how many wheels, you know, and everything in between. And, you know, see, look, Alisha, I think in the career of a designer, you know, yes, you can hop from one car manufacturer to another. But, you know, for me, you know, what was really attractive was in fact, the kind of diversity of products that are on offer at M&M, you know, and, you know, a chance to get your hands onto or into, you know, farm equipment is hugely exciting. And believe me, you know, you said it yourself, you know, the Swaraj Tractors is part of the group. They have, you know, in the US there's Mana, then there's Erkunt, you know, in Turkey. They have Mitsubishi Tractors in Japan. You know, so the spread is also huge. I mean, I, of course, discovered more of when I was going through my induction program. But the spread is incredible. And, you know, from small tractors to really large combined harvesters, and it's fascinating, you know. And you know, speaking to the farm equipment side of the business, you know, how it's also micro segmented. Farmers now are being exposed a lot to the latest products out there. There's farming as a service, you know, you name it, it's going on, and it's hugely exciting. In fact, you know, one of my on the trip last time I made to India, one of the most exciting, you know, let's say design reviews I had with my team was on the some of the new tractors we are working on, you know, and you know, it's a completely set of a different set of considerations of rules. So even I'm learning, you know, as I go along. I'm very lucky that the team in India is you know, really very, very capable and well versed with what's needed, you know. So my input is more at a strategic level, and of course, you know, these guys are fantastic. They've been designing tractors for a while now, and really good ones. And even there, I noticed there are some really iconic tractors, you know, like we had an iconic Thar, so there's an iconic tractor on this side, you know, Bhumiputra, which says
that's huge information volume. For me. That's interesting.
Yeah. You know, so I look at the Bhumiputra like the Thar. You know, it's so iconic, you know.
Certainly.
So, and then there are really these little modern, smaller tractors, and it's incredible. I mean, absolutely very, very exciting. And yes, you're right. I mean, part of the draw was that, you know, I would get to work in a sector I've not worked in before. I think, you know, anyone who looks at a career move looks at some of these opportunities, right? So certainly. For me, it was hugely exciting.
You know, while sure, you know, the opportunity to actually do a brand new segment, but also that, you know, when you're moving from, you know, a company of the scale that you were with before into M&M now, you know, an equally large scale, you also think about, you know, the timing of, you know, the projects that you'll be getting into, right?
Yes.
And of course, you've come and picked up, I mean, you know, things just when they're about to take on this sort of, you know, tour de force,
yeah.
And it's just going to, you know, become bigger and bigger. So how was the timing factor into, you know, perhaps the decision that you made? Was that also exciting to you, the fact that you were seeing this huge investment go into, you know, the Mahindra Advance design, and then, you know, the products that were going to come out, all the intent the brand had communicated and all of that. How was that important to you?
Yes, absolutely. Very, very important. You're right. You know, the timing is, in automotive, the cycle for design and development is around 48 months, right? 40 to 48 months. So it's very important, therefore, to join a company where you can actually make a difference immediately, right? Or you're at the start of a design program. And again, like I said, you know, the 9 new SUVs that will come. Of course, 700 was one of them. But, you know, there's so many more to come. You know, many of them were at this stage where we are, you know, the program had just started and, you know, we were just getting into the design, etc. So, again, you know, you come in and you see that there's a huge opportunity, you know, to bring in the new design language, to bring in a new design philosophy, actually, first. And, you know, and again, you're right, the timing is so lucky for me in that sense. Born Electric, I mean, we are really at the birth of Born Electric, you know, to pun on the word born, but and so are we on other products. And you know, Alicia, I think the most exciting point for any car designer, you can ask you know, any car designer you would have spoken to, you know, the most exciting point of a project is actually you know, when you're able to define the proportions and architecture of the vehicle, you know. Nice. I think that's phenomenal. So I'm able to, with the team now, do that on multiple projects. You know, so it's not like, oh, it was all defined and you were just coming in to put in some, you know, some last minute stuff. Yeah. And, you know, so, you know, to be at the start of something where you're discussing with your colleagues in MRV or product planning or, you know, like I said, in fact, in the USA, you know, at MNATC. So, you know, this multiple conversations with different departments in the company, different groups, is so exciting, you know, that you can bring in a design philosophy and you can bring it in at the right time, you know. So yes, timing is super important, and it was definitely a consideration, Alicia, I must say.
Super, even serendipitous, if I may say so. But, you know, so the next 48 months, as you've defined, you know, since this is a cycle that typically takes as long, will be exciting then when it comes to, you know, the new products that we will get to see. And you have, you know, communicated the vision that you have for these products, of course, in terms of, you know, it being younger, the, you know, the company memo, which is, you know, explore the impossible, unmissable presence. We get that all of these are motivations that you want to, you know, and, you know, philosophy that you want to build into the product. But for somebody who's actually going to, you know, as a potential buyer, customer, enthusiast, what can be some of the tangible differences that I can immediately expect to see, you know, in the next product, let's say, that comes from M&M?
I think, you know, first we have, and I continue to raise the level of refinement, the levels of craftsmanship, the materials that we use, you know, the colors, the materials, the finishes. So everything, you know, when you say tangible in that sense, you know, it's tactile as well, you know, so the fabrics on the seats or the materials we use, you know, so you'll see a real marked shift in that. And XUV 700 actually sets that off. You know, so what I was telling you earlier, this level of sophistication, you know, that must come into the brand. And that we must build on, you know, it's not only about being rugged and about, you know, getting your hands and legs dirty. Of course, you do that. There are products for that. You know, the Thar is, you can hose down a Thar completely, for example. But there are some products in the portfolio which don't necessarily do that, right? So customers buy them for a different set of attributes. Like I said, the core attribute of performance, of off-roadability, of going anywhere, that remains. But then there's layers above that where we are bringing in, and we will bring in more and more and more sophistication.
Fantastic. And I can only be excited about that. And I'm sure so are the many people who have actually got to experience the XUV700. And,
yes.
You know, I unfortunately have it in flesh, but it definitely looks great. And I've only heard good things. So one can only imagine that it only goes up from here. And I'm sure with you involved, that's going to be the case, most certainly. So Pratap, before I let you go, the last thing I have to ask you is, tomorrow when you go back to the office, what's the challenge that you foresee will come your way? And when I say challenge, I mean, you know, of course, it's an exciting time for you to be at the company. What will you just get busy with? Just so we have a sense of what to look forward to.
Yeah, of course. I mean, look, Alisha, because India is, you know, 4.5 hours ahead, I of course, start tracking, you know, I'm sort of working from 6 o'clock, you know, responding very quickly to some of the important mails, etc. You know, some feedback on a program. My team will send me a set of presentations, and I'll give you know, annotations or a feedback on a certain design. And then when I reach the studio here, the first stop is the clay modeling you know, workshop. I love that. We have some you know, incredible clay models going already. So I will look at that right in the, you know, sort of first thing in the morning here. And then, of course, it goes back into, you know, sort of other meetings and budgets and you know, program timing. So that's kind of, you know, it's usually a mixed day. But my favorite part of the day, of course, is when I'm in the clay studio or when I'm, you know, reviewing design with the team in India or even here in the UK. So, you know, for me, being a designer is about design. And of course, you know, as you move on in your career in a company, you know, you start taking on more and more management sort of issues. But yeah, I'm very lucky, Alisha, to be able to still be in a job I love and do it with people who love being designers as well. And you know, so the challenge is always how do you become better than what you've done. You know, you're only as good as your last project. And you know, so all of us,
you have many, you know, the challenge, and you have many to speak of, so I'm sure you covered there.
But you know, the you know, we as a new sort of global team, you know, both in UK and in India, we've got a point to prove. You know, we're going to create really exciting, iconic products. And you know, that's the pressure which keeps us going. I think we have a responsibility to the company, but to the brand, and of course to customers, right? So everything that comes from Mahindra Design has to be off that level, you know. And it's that pressure, it's that challenge that's exciting.
And you've done it before, and I have no doubt that you will do it all again now, you know, with a very capable team as well. So thanks, yes, Pratap, for giving me an insight into, you know, the day that you lead, and of course all the wonderful things that are going on at MNM.
Yeah.
Thanks once again for joining me on the podcast. Lovely speaking to you as always.
Thank you, take care. And,
thanks so much, Pratap.
Well, that's a wrap on this edition of the Smooth Ride podcast. Thanks very much for tuning in. And now we're giving you a chance to be heard as well. In case you wish to give us any feedback, suggestions, or have a question, please do write to us on cnbctv18podcast@nw18.com. I repeat, that is cnbctv18podcast@nw18.com. Stay tuned in to CNBC TV 18 for all the latest news and updates. Thanks very much and have a nice day.